This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
You're asking yourself, what's trending? You're about to find out. It's our excuse me, our Canadian listeners. Ouch. You're about to find out. A DJV show. We have a couple of stations in Canada. Yes, we do.
Not anymore.
Yeah. That's Jennifer Horn, and the chuckler is Victoria Keelan. We are here to have a positive side of all the tragedy around. There is so much tragedy, but look at the peaches, the rainbows that come out of it. I think that's kind of, we're all very vulnerable right now, and we all feel like we have been sucker punched, and you have, and you will continue to be. I think that's just kind of, we're going to learn a lot this year. We're going to grow a lot this year. It makes us stronger psychologically, emotionally, and I think that I've always said I've been attracted to strength in my life, to strong spirit, strong mental, strong physical people. It makes for a better life. Some guy, I was getting ready to go do some work in a hayfield, and the guy wanted me to just eyeball it with him because he wasn't sure I understood where the boundaries were. So I met him over this, a guy who owns a lot of land and hadn't seen me from last year. And he said to me, he looked at me and he said, how old are you? And I looked at him strangely. I said, I'm 73. He said, why do you keep doing this? And I said, because it's good for me. One of the things that you, he said, well, you're in great shape. And I said, yeah, I feel terrific. And I got a few aches and pains here and there, but if it weren't for this, I'd probably have more aches and pains. I believe in my new philosophy. I don't know if it's new. I've been saying this for a couple of years. In order to make life better and more fun, keep moving. That's what you got to do. I can't outrun, obviously, the pollen. Neither can any of us. But I can outrun a lot of other things. And that's kind of what my philosophy is. Take what you have and run with it. It'll invariably make you better, I think. And so having said that, we have several circumstances that are presented. I just posted some on my Facebook page about COVID-19 and those people who have strong immune systems that don't get it. I just think it's food for thought. All of these things that we have been confronted with, the social, the moral, the ethical questions, the physical questions about the COVID-19, where that all came from. I just think it's been one hell of a cost, but we've all learned something from it, haven't we? What do you, if I were to say, Jennifer, to you, what have you learned thus far that you didn't learn about either yourself or the disease itself? What have you learned from the experience in the past 6 months?
Well, I think obviously we learned about the disease, right? I think also, like globally, it was a better reflection as to why China is so dangerous for people that didn't already know. And I think personally, the slowing down hasn't been terrible for me. The not running around on weekends, in addition to my schedule that is very intense, to say the least, has actually probably been better for me, I think, especially given the circumstances that have been happening over the last several months. It's probably been really good for me not, you know, to be forced out of taking on weekend plans.
Yeah. That's not, nothing wrong with that. Calm down a little bit. What about you, Victoria? How have things changed for you? What have you learned since the China virus dug its heels in, which actually in our country, we had signs in October, late November, in there. And we didn't really take any action for about 4 months after that because we weren't sure what to do. So since then, how has it changed your life?
Well, the biggest change is, we're trying to protect my parents. My parents, especially my mom, she has very vulnerable lungs. So it is, the unfortunate part is not being able to be around them in a normal way. like hugging them and being in the house and things like that. So that's been the strangest, worst part of it. Some of the best parts, though, we really have, you know, kind of scaled back on our lifestyle, and we realize what's important and what's not important. Where, you know, we're saving a lot of money because we're not, you know, ordering out. We're not going out to restaurants as much. We're just, you know, in a different mindset. And the other big change is my husband normally is working in this, in New York, every day. And so we're together a lot. And I actually think it's been good for our relationship. I know there are a lot of relationships that are not faring so well.
You realize that you like each other.
Yeah, a lot of
Ooh,
them.
Thank God, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've been hearing lots of stories, even within my own, you know, family and friends network, of it being a really rough time for couples right now. So we feel very fortunate that that things are good with us. So we're happy.
Yep. Well, I'm looking at my two children, and they're happy in their relationships. It's pretty obvious that certainly with Megan and Matthew, they've had to live at home and work at home for this thing since it started in May. And Miles has been home, and the three of them just, and Miles is crawling up the walls. But
it's
other than that,
tough for kids, yeah.
Yeah, it certainly is tough for kids. And then as far as Megan, I mean, as far as Brendan and Sophie are concerned, they seem to be happy as, you know, I could read it. They just like being with each other. And they have.
Hey, you know what? They're newlyweds. This is a good time to be on an extended honeymoon. I don't know if
maybe you'll get a grandkid
working
out of this. Yeah.
Well, it's been suggested. At any rate.
By you or?
Well, no. I guess I think in general, it's just Megan was teasing him yesterday. This was a trip. So Sophie had Megan. I had just been on FaceTime with Megan and Miles and Matthew. And then I went over to Brendan. And so while Brendan and I are on FaceTime with each other, Sophie's on FaceTime with Megan and Miles. And so we're going around in the... just the reality of the technology is something... It's really
you should have done a Zoom call. All of you could have been together.
Well, we did that. Brendan and I did that with one of my partners on Friday. And it's becoming old hat. I'll tell you what not to use is WebEx. I don't know if you know even what it is. I feel like I'm becoming more
educated. It's the janky version of Zoom that no one likes.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. Awful. Yeah, it's terrible. Awful, awful. Before we, there's a lot of stuff going on with the virus. I think I mentioned to you, Victoria, maybe I didn't. I was talking to somebody about this on Friday. The reality of where the virus is coming from, according to probably, and I wish I could remember this guy's name, I can see him. He was on one of the late night shows talking about the origins of viruses in general, not just this virus, but where viruses come from in the first place. He said something that startled me when I first heard it, and I was half asleep, and I woke up to it. He said every one of these viruses is essentially related because they have all come from the same source, unless it's something that is contrived. But even the origins of this virus that we acknowledge came from a Chinese laboratory, but they have to start someplace. And so when there is a connection to the virus and that bat, whatever the food market is that's there, that's next door to where it's next door to the laboratory. And what has happened is that they would take the basic structure of viruses that are in those animals, the bats or whatever, and then they'd expound upon them to make them more dangerous. That's what they do in the laboratory. So he said that these diseases have been going on for as long as mankind has been eating other beings. And what happens is, listen to this, this is fascinating. When you eat an animal that has, especially modern animals today, that are being fed the remnants of old animals. Now, I can remember back when I was a kid looking at the bags of grain that came from Agway. And I remember the label said many different things, but included in it was bone meal. And if you don't know what bone meal is, it's rendering the ground up bones of animals, and they grind it up and they put it into the feed, and it has been a part of the feed for eons. So you've got the animal that we eat today is, there are lots of different bugs in animals. There just are. And so the meat is taken off the bone. The bone is sent to the rendering house. It's ground up, and it's put back in the feed that we feed to chickens or cows or other animals. So the animals just keep getting the same cycle because the viruses get into every cell of the animal's being. You keep chewing it up and putting it in feed. So the chickens get it. We kill the chickens. We grind up their bones, feed it to the cows. The cows have it. We take the meat off, we grind up the bones, and we feed it to the chickens. It just keeps going around and around and around and around, and we eat meat from chickens, and we eat meat from beef, and we eat meat from all kinds of sources. And this guy says that he seemed like an esteemed professor of biology, and it made a lot of sense to me. You think about it that way. How, yeah, you can take the virus, and he said they mutate every single day, these viruses, more than we can count. He said there are more viruses on the planet than you can count. And they all mutate depending on what's going on. Most of us have strong enough immune systems to fight them off and not even know that they're there. But once in a while, somebody will mutate, will make them more powerful than they are by doing what the Chinese did as an example. Or anybody else that wants to take them and use them and weaponize them. So I thought that was just to understand the cycles of these viruses that have gone on long before mankind existed. The planet is loaded with bacteria, and if that wasn't the case, as we've developed as a human species, the bacteria in our gut is the only reason we survive. You know that, right? Without good, healthy bacteria in your gut, you would not survive. All disease starts in the gut. You've got bad bacteria that comes from eating some of this stuff, and you get the viruses in there that sometimes prey on the bacteria. Our world, we think, is a mammalian world, and in fact it is not. It is a bacterial, virological world. And the fact that we exist in it is just courtesy of the bacteria and the viruses that want to allow us to live.
I'll tell you my good news about coronavirus.
Yeah. What's your good news, Jennifer? No, but I think that's fascinating, don't you?
Sorry. Yeah.
No, seriously. Yeah.
And in breaking news, there's a new study of convalescent plasma transfusions in 20,000 coronavirus patients. And the authors of this study said that the data offers, quote, robust evidence that the treatment is safe and associated with improved survival from coronavirus. The idea behind the therapy is that plasma of recently infected, recovered coronavirus patients, we've talked about this.
How about blood plasma?
Yeah, it does have antiviral antibodies that can be used to treat other patients with the virus. Yeah. So they call it convalescent plasma, and this has had a long historical run in our country of things that we use to fight virus. But the study that was from Mayo Clinic that was published this past week offered a larger analysis specifically with coronavirus in mind. And so those antibody tests are going to be more important than normal. And
very
people
important.
Who have fought it, willing to donate plasma, also really important to people suffering.
Barry, you'll be on the hero list for sure. We discussed the meaning and possible ramifications of the recent Supreme Court rulings on DACA in our clip of the day that is presently posted at djvshow.com. So you can listen to that discussion. Sometimes the clips are funny, sometimes they're serious, sometimes, well, I think they're all meaningful. So you can check them out, all of our clips and the daily show as well, all day, every day. The whole DJV show airs back to back to back to back. If you missed part of it and you want to listen to more, do yourself a favor. Help yourself. DJVshow.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We are the cowboys, the true sons of freedom.
I always love Willie. He always puts sort of a calming onto whatever's going on. Don't you think he does?
And yeah, that's actually a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's dropped his cover of Billy Joe Shaver's 1981 song, We Are the Cowboys. Willie covers the song in his upcoming album, First Rose of Spring, and released a video for the track over the weekend, filmed at his Luck Ranch outside of Austin by his son Micah. The video captures Willie tending to his horses and walking the grounds of his old cowboy town. No, well, it's kind of subtle. Subtle nods to his own cowboy heroes. In the form of cardboard cutouts, Roy Rogers, Gene Autry. Maybe that's why I like Willie Nelson as much. Because they were my heroes, too, as a youngster. The Lone Ranger, also. This is the first time. He recorded We Are the Cowboys before. He joined Billy Joe Shaver, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson for an all-star lineup on 20,000's Honky Tonk Heroes. A Highwayman-type album found them all singing Shaver compositions like Oklahoma Wind, Tramp on Your Street, and You Asked Me To, which Elvis cut in 73 for his album Promised Land. Nelson turned 87 on his last birthday. He's going to release The First Rose of Spring on the 3rd of next month. So, anyway, that's something to look forward to. Calm down, everybody. Listen to Willie. Speaking of Kris Kristofferson, folks over at SiriusXM are going to have a... Well, they've actually got a country channel, an outlaw country channel, that's featuring Chris's music. He turned 84. My God, Kris Kristofferson is 84? Wow. They marked the occasion at Sirius with two programs celebrating his songwriting. He's a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame as a songwriter. For the Good Times, an outlaw country cruise tribute to Kris Kristofferson is a 90-minute live tribute concert recorded earlier this year aboard the 5th annual Outlaw Country Cruise. Kristofferson was the guest artist in residence on the voyage, and in addition to performing his own sets, he watched as those he inspired perform his songs. Listen to Williams, the Mavericks, Raul Malo, Steve Earle, Shooter Jennings among those singing for Kristofferson, who joins the cast to close out the show with Why Me. The concert aired 5 times between Friday and Monday night. Steve Earle's outlaw country program Hardcore Troubadour also recognizing the birthday of Kristofferson with a playlist devoted to his versions of his songs. Dylan's reading of They Killed Him, Waylon Jennings' version of The Taker, Leon Womack's Nobody Wins, and of course Janis Joplin's hit version of Me and Bobby McGee, all featured, all songs written by Kris Kristofferson. So, the special airs Tuesday the 23rd at 12 a.m. Eastern Time, so midnight, and Wednesday, June 24th, and this is on Sirius XM, right? On their Outlaw Country channel.
Yep. Yep.
All right, hear that. I wish they'd, we could do a little more video on that, too, as well. Every year since she was 15, singer-songwriter Tennille Towns has hosted and performed at the Big Heart for Big Kids event, which benefits the Sunrise House Homeless Youth Center in her hometown of Grand Prairie, Alberta. And each year the event has raised progressively more money. This year, with the touring and live events mostly shut down, Towns is turning the event into a virtual concert, expanding her fundraising efforts to Nashville with an all-star show scheduled for the end of this month. Miss Towns, who releases her debut album, The Lemonade Stand, on June 26th, will host and perform her portion of the show at the Ryman. She'll be on stage, at-home performances on the show. Dierks Bentley, Brandi Carlile, Luke Combs, Ashley McBride, Lori McKenna, Chrissy Metz, and some others. Concert will be streamed via Towns' YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, as well as on Bobby Bones' show.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We all need to do our part.
And so that we care.
Look, man.
I wear a mask to protect you.
You wear masks to protect me.
Let's all wear masks to stop the spread of coronavirus and save lives.
Good reasons for the public and business owners to wear and offer face masks. But not just any mask. Cheap doesn't mean protection. Sunny-Bay.com has the best value of high-quality N95 or disposable face masks anywhere. Get disposable Level 1 face masks now, a 20-pack starting at only $12. Or a 10-pack of N95 respirator masks is only $34. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $35. Choose your level of protection at Sunny-Bay.com. Prices are low, but supplies are limited. Get details and order at Sunny-Bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to Sunny-Bay.com for disposable or N95 face masks. Ask about volume discounts available for all businesses. Just click Sunny-Bay.com. That's Sunny-Bay.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Shootings at a Juneteenth celebration last night in Charlotte, North Carolina, leaving at least 2 people dead and 7 others wounded, according to the Deputy Police Chief Johnny Jennings.
What started out as something positive on Friday has escalated into this, and now we're looking at least 2 deceased.
Jennings says 5 other people were injured when they were struck by vehicles when the chaos broke out. They're looking for what may be multiple shooters. NASCAR is investigating after a noose turned up in the garage of Bubba Wallace on Saturday at Talladega Super Speedway. Wallace, who is black, the only top-tier black driver in NASCAR, says he's incredibly saddened, and he says it serves as a reminder of how much further we have to go as a society. Nevertheless, he says he is not going to let it break him, and he will continue driving. This is USA Radio News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission. and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
Phase 2 of New York City's reopening after the worst of the coronavirus shutdown beginning today. It includes barbershops, hair salons, and outdoor dining. More than 300,000 New Yorkers are also expected to return to their workplaces today. A long-running bid to make the nation's capital city a state is going to resume this week as we hear from USA Radio's Wendy King.
Since D.C. is not a state, it doesn't have voting power in Congress, and that has long been a bone of contention for residents in the nation's capital. Presently, the population of Washington, D.C. is higher than the population in several states, but it has a congressional representative, and she cannot cast a vote. Supporters of the change say D.C. residents pay taxes, fight in wars, and are bound by federal statutes. So, they should have a vote in Congress. But many Republicans oppose granting statehood to D.C. because its residents are predominantly Democratic.
Shark attacks way down this year in American waters, and experts believe it's because beaches have been closed because of the coronavirus pandemic. Only 15 shark attacks have been reported worldwide from January through May. The University of Florida's International Shark Attack File is reporting the long-term average for the first 5 months of the year would be 25. Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Four minutes past the hour on the DJV show. Doug, Jen, and Victoria, so happy to be with you. And Victoria, this attention on statues, a lot of statues coming down across the country due to protests for the Black Lives Matter movement. There's one that's a bit controversial involving Abraham Lincoln. And obviously, we know if we check back our history books, Lincoln was the one who freed the slaves, which makes this one controversial. But the way it's set up apparently has some people taking notice and wanting to pull it down. So what's the story?
Yeah, if you haven't seen the statue, there's one in Washington, D.C., and then a copy of that same statue is in Boston. And Boston's mayor, Marty Walsh, says that he's now having discussions with the city council and taking in opinions on should they pull that statue down. It's an ominous kind of looking statue. I'm not familiar with it until the pictures came out over the weekend of this was a statue that might be taken down next. It's Lincoln standing over a freed slave with his hand, like, kind of over his head, and the slave has broken shackles on, and it says the word emancipation along the side of it. It does
so
not.
So why
look,
would that be controversial?
Well, I don't know. To me, looking at it, it does not look like a celebration of, you know, of freedom. It looks, I don't know, it's ominous is the only word I can think of. It's a very dark.
Are we going too far with this? Is this another one of the, is there just too much of this stuff that
I don't know. I don't.
Are we over-scrutinizing things like that? It's very
hard.
Well,
you're in Boston where the second statue exists. Have you been hearing any chatter about it?
Yeah. I think we should see a lot of stuff on social media about it.
This is a really good part of our history. Lincoln fought to free the slaves. This is probably ultimately ended. His life was ended because of it. So
there's a lot of sensitivity toward racial issues in Boston because Boston's had a lot of racial problems over the last certainly 50 years. When I was a kid, they changed the federal government had to take over the school system and ran it for 13 years because they couldn't figure out how locally to run it without there being huge, huge problems in the black community. It just was a horror show. And kids were bused. They still are. There's a program called the Metco program that runs in Boston that brings inner-city kids to the suburban schools. There are, I think, 30 or 40 different communities around Boston that participate, and they get paid a lot of money by the state and the federal government to bring kids out from inner city schools to the suburban schools. And that, you know, that requires the kids leave their home before 6 in the morning, get on buses, they go out to the suburbs, they stay during the school day, and if they participate at all in any after-school activities, usually it's 7, 8 o'clock before they get back to their homes in the city. So that was an acknowledgement, as far as I was concerned, of what a horror show we were living with. And so, you know, you grow up around that, and then you look at the rest of the world, or at least the rest of our country, and see the same sort of thing happening, and yet it wasn't dealt with. And I don't know that that was the proper way to do it. I don't know. You take shots in the dark here to try to figure out how to deal with this stuff. It just doesn't seem like it's part of the human condition that we are smart enough to figure out on our own individually. We just don't seem to be able to.
Well,
there's a lot of... Go ahead.
The second part of this statue story, and this is the one that I found the most surprising, the statue of Teddy Roosevelt that has greeted everybody walking into the Museum of Natural History in New York on the Upper West Side, that's been there for about 100 years. That statue is coming down, too. It features Teddy Roosevelt on his horse. I forget the name of the horse. It was a famous horse. That statue is featured. Robin Williams played Teddy Roosevelt in the Night at the Museum movies, which are great fun movies for kids. And so that statue, which is so iconic and became even more famous after the movies came out, that's the statue that will be taken down. On the left, Teddy is riding on the horse. On his right is a Native American chief, and on his left is a slave. And so there, I guess the reason that I don't specifically know, the reason that I've read that came from the mayor's office and from the city council, which all voted unanimously to take this down, is that they're seen walking alongside of Teddy Roosevelt as he's on horseback, that they're seen below him, and below him as in terms of, like, you know, the hierarchy of humans. And so that's also kind of the sentiment that a lot of people on social media have been talking about with removing the Lincoln statue in Boston, is that, yes, it's supposed to be about Lincoln freeing the slaves, but the slave is still on the ground at his feet. And then
Roosevelt was president when that was happening. So, of course, that would probably be the way it was going to be.
What do you mean?
I mean, so they don't like the statue of Teddy Roosevelt because he's on a horse and everybody else is walking alongside of him. Teddy Roosevelt was the president. That would be probably what the protocol was, wasn't it? Right. I mean, would the president be down?
Like I said,
probably not.
But it doesn't really make sense in context, though. Why would he have? And it looks like he has them chained. Like, it looks, when you look at the up close of the statue, it looks like he's dragging these two, the Native American chief and the slave, along with him. I get it now, but to be honest, having been a New Yorker for a long time, I never even looked at this statue that closely. I've seen it a million times. I drove by it every single day of my life for many years. Never even really paid that much attention to it. But I guess now everything is under a different lens.
Something. Yeah,
privilege. I never thought about it.
Well, I'm not
bothered other people. Apparently, it's been bothering people for a long time, and I just, you know, didn't. I never paid attention.
There are a lot of people who are trying. I don't like that term, white privilege. I don't know who coined it. It doesn't speak for me. I'm a white person, but it doesn't speak to me. I'm not sure that we aren't in danger of overdoing this by the guilt by association stuff that's going on. And I think I resent it a little bit, frankly. It just seems to me that there are individual cases, sure, that need to be metered. There is horrible rendering of justice when it comes to black people. That is what I would like to focus on. The police and the number of blacks who are in jail, why blacks commit the crimes they do in the first place, you know, what's inherent in all of that. The city councilors in my community, actually in a number of towns and cities around the Boston area, are looking into how they can divert the money that goes into the police department to do other things. Because the police people here, they are called upon to do things that are related to mental health, to homelessness, to substance abuse, and even car crashes. Those are things beyond the scope of law enforcement's function and would probably better be served by some kind of public health response. Maybe not traffic crashes, but the other things, yes. These people, unless you're going to train them to be superhumans, they aren't trained to deal with this stuff. So this foolish defund the police thing, which is nonsense, reorganize the police. And I've said this, I think I started last Monday by saying it's not only the police, but it's the public education system, which encounters and feeds into this problem. It's services that are rendered that we pay for. We need to, as a society, agree on what we want for what we are paying. We pay the bill. I don't want somebody telling me what I should be doing with my money. I want to have a say in where it goes. And I don't feel like I have a say. That's why you elect city councilors or town meeting members or, you know, whatever, the representative form of government that we have. We are not in a democracy. We're in a representative form of government. And at each level, the municipal level, state level, the federal level, we elect people to represent our point of view. And I will tell you, in California and Massachusetts, where I live, I don't feel like I'm represented at all. In either circumstance, if I can get to the local, the city council, there are five or six people that represent me on the city council out of 11. When it comes to the state reps that cover my area, I know them, I like them, I support them. Do they do everything? No, they're not going to do everything that I like, but I think that they get more of what needs to be done. There are some police, and I think I said this on Friday, in Framingham, the police chief resigned. I don't know if he was pushed out or not, but the guy underneath him is black. The mayor is black, and I think that she wants to have a black police chief. He's actually a good cop, so I don't know that it's going to be a problem, but it's just the visual, you know what I mean? It's that.
Yeah, but how much of it is optics and how much of it is real change? I don't know. Well, I feel like
she's not capable of creating or having. She doesn't have the inspiration to create a situation where we're going to have change, real change. But there are some people that are inspired in some circumstances. But it's because it's all about her and nobody else. You can't get anything done. If we had a real movement in the community to bring everybody in and all sides represented so that we could really get out of the police force what we want collectively, then you got something. And could you do that? Could you imagine that being done where you are, Victoria, in your community, or Jennifer in Los Angeles, where you are? Can that be done?
You would like to think it could. Do you think, I know that you've said lots of things about, you know, the mayor and the lack of leadership. Do you think she's going to get reelected? Or do you think
she's going to have a tough time. She's already on the re-election campaign, but we're going to have somebody running against her.
With our city council and our mayor, who have been so disappointing in Los Angeles, which is where I live, they'll get reelected again because people vote on brands, because people are generally kind of dumb when it comes to voting, and they'll just vote for the name they recognize, and they won't actually look into it. I mean, when you talk about inequities, I live in Los Angeles. I pay a ton of taxes. I operate a business in Los Angeles. I pay a ton of taxes to do that. And what's the messaging over the last 3 months of coronavirus? Well, they were prosecuting businesses who stayed open to stay in business, and they let the city council voted to let people out with the zero bail. So people were getting arrested 3-4 times a day. They were given a citation, and then they were let out. So how is that fair? You can commit a crime and you get let out, but a business who's trying to stay operational gets fined. That, to me, is a huge problem. And it's not representing the taxpayer very well at all. But will people change that? No, because by and large, people just go and vote for the name they know. It's like buying the pair of shoes or the laundry soap. They go for the brand.
Or the brand of pancake syrup, Aunt Jemima. So here's the question. What would you call the new Aunt Jemima? We talked about this, remember, last week?
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge, huge, huge brand. It's the leader in its category.
After our conversation last week about Aunt Jemima, I didn't know she was a real person, and so I looked it up. Did you guys happen to look up her story?
I only know she was a real person.
Yeah, she was born a slave, right?
She was born a slave. She was freed, and then she went on to get this job as an ambassador. She would travel around with this pancake syrup, and was a shining example of someone who had a terrible start to life, but came out and actually flourished. And I didn't have a problem with them taking her off the bottle of syrup, but gosh, this is actually a story. This is a woman who was like a trailblazer, who when she was freed was like, you know, the world, she conquered so many things, so many glass ceilings, and now we're going to just forget her story because we don't like how the pancake syrup looks. It's pretty bad.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying.
It's the name, really. Uncle thing. That's what people have a problem with. If they call it Mrs. Jemima, then I don't think that anyone would have a problem with that. Or Ms. Jemima.
Ms. Jemima?
Yeah. I don't know if she was married or not. I don't know that story, but or if they just should have used her actual name.
All right. Food for thought, 48 after the hour.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Joel Streed. Hot flashes are one of the many symptoms of menopause. Hormone therapy, once thought to adversely affect women's health, is now being looked at in a new light.
There seems to be pretty uniform agreement among experts that estrogen therapy given to younger women who have just been through menopause, within their 50s or within 10 years of menopause, not only does it effectively treat hot flashes, but in fact it prevents heart disease.
Dr. Ekta Kapoor says the misconceptions surrounding hormone replacement therapy really began in 2002 with the release of the Women's Health Initiative study.
The average age of the woman in that trial was 63 years. The typical patient that gets started on hormone therapy is a woman in her late 40s or early 50s. So we made the mistake of extrapolating the results of that one single study.
Now, Dr. Kapoor says things have come full circle, and for the right patients, her default is to prescribe hormone therapy. For more information, talk with your healthcare provider or visit mayoclinic.org.
Hey guys, it's Mock and Daisy from the Chicks on the Right. We want to tell you about our new podcast, the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast. Every week, we talk about the issues that matter to us most. We talk about everything from parenting and our families to the Me Too movement and what women really want in men. And if you're just plain tired of people trying to tell you what to do and how to live your life, we tackle that too. Find out more by going to our website, chicksontheright.com, or start listening on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Don't forget to leave us a comment, a review, and subscribe.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Frontsight, America's gun training destination.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Pit time here on the DJV program. Always happy to have my pal Tom Kreitler, Tommy the K, who along with Leslie Segretti helm this very important radio program on hundreds of stations, many of the same stations that carry my program. As a matter of fact, we'll carry this the program and the podcast that come out of it and the Money Pit newsletter. So I want to underscore something as we get into the heat of the summer. That's the first full week of summer. 2020, going to be hot for lots of different reasons. People that are not going to be. I know there are more people putting in pools, I was told by a fellow that I know who's in the pool business, than ever before. This summer, because nobody's traveling anywhere, apparently it's Bonanza City for pool people. So, with that in mind, how do you keep your children safe around the pool that you build or that you have? Maybe you go to a community pool. What have you found? This is in this week's podcast, right? Money Pit Podcast?
That's right. So we highlight the topic of layers of protection. When it comes to keeping kids safe, Doug, you know, typically when there is a tragedy, there is a parent or other adult that just lost focus for a moment. You know, they turn away for 2 seconds, as they say, and I say 2 seconds is too late. Yeah. Now, there's no substitute for parental supervision, but there are things that you can do to kind of back you up as a parent, and it starts with the fencing, of course. So the fencing around pools, I hate when they have pools, Doug, and they only put 3 sides of fencing in the yard, and they expect the back wall of the house to be like a line in you know, like the fourth wall of the fence, mm-hmm. because kids are going in and out all day long. Now, if you have fencing, it's got to be at least 4 feet tall, and it's got to be a certain type of fencing called non-climbable. Now, if it's chain link, it means that the actual square in the chain is smaller. It's about 1.25 inches as opposed to 1.75 inches, so kids can't get a toe hold. And if it is that back wall of the house that makes that fourth wall of the fence, you have to have door alarms on the doors so that if kids slide open the sliding door, the alarm goes off. These are simple things that get mounted up high on the door. You can take them off when the kids grow up, but it'll alert you if the kids go out the door. Also, there are door alarms for fence gates, so you can make sure that that is protected as well. And there are also splash alarms that you can put in the pool that if the kids were to jump in the pool or fall in the pool, that a splash alarm would go off. But all of these things, the gates, the pool covers, the door alarms, the gate alarms, the splash alarms, all of those things work to kind of back you up as a parent. So, again, emphasizing there's no substitute for parental supervision, but having the appropriate safety measures in place can truly help prevent a tragedy.
You know, we're so distracted, Tommy, these days with devices. Parents who might have been outside with their children by the pool paying attention to them now are sitting outside reading whatever the latest text is that has nothing to do with anything, but yet it's more important than watching your children in the pool, that kind of stuff. So
yeah, that's right.
That's why. Yeah,
that's right. There's more and more than that in there. But folks have always had some level of distraction, whether it's a text or whether it's something on your phone that you think is interesting, or whether the phone, rings or you're cooking something or whatever. But you just got to be focused when you're watching children. Big responsibility.
This week, one of our listeners named Robbie is concerned about his air conditioning bills. Any easy way to cut the cost of doing this without getting hot?
Certainly. There are low-cost and no-cost things that you can do. First of all, if you've not had your system serviced, do that now. Very important, because it could be running and cooling but not cooling well, which means it has to run longer to do the same thing. Secondly, on some cool morning, take a look at your insulation in your attic, and now is a good time to double it if you possibly can. In terms of operations, if you have storm windows in your house, if you live in an older home but still have storm windows, leave them down in the summer, because that will keep the air conditioning in. The same way it keeps the cold air out in the winter, it will keep the warm air out in the summer. Robbie, if you have shades, you should keep those down on the south side of the house.
Common sense.
That kind of stuff does make a difference. And when it really gets hot, avoid running those heat-generating appliances until nighttime. Dryers, ovens, that sort of thing.
Hello. Hi, yeah. Money Pit newsletter this week has some ways to use that paint that's left over. I use it. I mix it all together and put it on floors and stuff.
Sure, exactly. I mean, you can always do that if you're just trying to do it, you know, to protect, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's a lot. We have an article, 10 fun ways to use leftover paint, and that's on MoneyPit.com right now.
Also, how to keep your lawns healthy. I'm in a drought up here. You aren't down in New Jersey, but we got a drought going here. Everything's browning out already.
Big mistake there is that, you know, your lawn doesn't die when you don't water it, or we have a water restriction. It turns brown. It doesn't die. It's just going dormant. However, when that happens, you can't walk on it, because then you will grind it to a pulp and it won't come back. So try not to walk on it.
Check out the money.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.